I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source. On November 4th, Bexar County voters will have a choice on Proposition A and B. B is for the $311 million for the Spurs' new arena. A is for $198 million for the rodeo grounds. Plenty of ink has been spilled over the Spurs arena, less so for the rodeo question. The vision is to turn the Eastside Freeman Coliseum grounds into a year-round rodeo attraction that will anchor wider revitalization and spur growth in the area around the Coliseum. The promise is there is a massive untapped market of people with disposable income across the nation who will come to San Antonio for year-round rodeo events. What questions do you have about year-round rodeo for the Freeman Coliseum? Cody Davenport from the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo joins us. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. In less than 2 weeks, Bexar County voters will decide if the county should raise the venue tax to fund $311 million for a new Spurs arena and $198 million for revitalization of the rodeo grounds. Prop B is for the Spurs, and Prop A is the rodeo question. The vision for the rodeo grounds is to revitalize that county property for year-round rodeo. Cody Davenport is with us. He's the head of the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo and leading the charge to pass Prop B. And Cody, welcome to The Source.
David, appreciate you having us here.
So our phone lines are open. If you got questions and comments about Prop A, that's the one, Prop A, that's the rodeo question. Got questions about Prop A, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Cody, what are your plans for the $198 million if this passes?
Well, basically what we're looking, what our plan is to take what we do, you know, in the month of February, you know, that we've done since 1949, we've been down there a long time, and expand that type of operation inside of that industry. And I think a key component is that we're talking about a Western industry here. A lot of people, you know, will ask, okay, well, we rinse and repeat rodeo. That's not going to work. And I agree wholeheartedly. A rinse and repeat of rodeo as they know it in February would not work. But what we're talking about is an extremely wide industry that is out there. And it's the Western industry as a whole. I've also, you know, spoken about studying our peers up there from Calgary to Fort Worth to even what happens in the month of December, you know, in Las Vegas. And they're all very different and very unique. But I will say that since I came in as CEO, I constantly receive calls from, say, cuttings and big ropings or youth events, and I have to tell them all the time, I only have the grounds in the month of February. I can't do anything with you. I appreciate the call. Would love to have you here, but I only operate in the month of February. I do not own these grounds. So we're looking at being able to take the industry as a whole, spread it out, not of the magnitude that you see in February, but with regular traction, regular continuity throughout the year.
So if you get the $198 million, break it down for me. How is that money going to be spent?
So currently, if you're familiar with the grounds, I would stop and say from an overall perspective, anybody is familiar with it, it looks like a concrete jungle down there. It looks like just metal barns, you know, thrown up here and there haphazardly. I think the key component for those Eastside grounds, number one, is going in and creating a welcoming feel to all of the buildings with continuity. So the exterior facades would get a lift. The Frost Bank Center needs upgrades. Coliseum needs upgrades. But probably most you know, importantly for what we're talking about, what we need is creating facilities that are competitive enough that I can go out, you know, across the nation and compete by bringing in events. Right now, the facilities I have, I could not bring in events of regular. I could get some, but I couldn't bring in it regularly. So one would be taking the Expo Hall 1 up there and converting it into approximately a 2,800 seat arena, which is the perfect size for regular attractions. It would have, you know, a VIP type of, you know, bar and restaurant feel on the top of it. And it, I talk about it almost being like a miniature Frost Bank Center, meaning I have the bells and the whistles in there to do first-rate productions. Now I can bring in all these things. I can go out and go to any city where these things are happening and show them that we have the proper facilities to host them. San Antonio being a tourism city that it is and having the weather that we have, you know, in the winter months, we're very attractive. So competitive facility there to bring in people. The other one is taking our old metal barns that are existing on the north side of that property, tearing those down and putting in what we would call a multi-use building. And what I mean by that is if you're familiar with around the Reliance Stadium in Houston, you know, they have buildings there with conditioned air and finishes on the inside of it that basically you can run livestock shows in it. And as soon as the livestock show is over, you move that livestock out. And now the county would have the ability to put on their boat shows and the different expo type things that they, you know, currently are doing. But we can create cross-pollinization where I could be running a equestrian event in that new facility I was talking about, the arena, while simultaneously, you know, you have a unified look to those grounds, and then you're putting on an expo or something the county's putting on, and you've got a reason for people to move around those grounds. A key thing that we can bring as a rodeo to those grounds is an identity. And right now, you've got us, you've got the Spurs, you've got the county. Depending on what is happening, what weekend is always just rotating around. It has no feel to it. And we can offer an attractive feel to it that will help on the expo side of things as well.
So a mini arena, which is now Expo Hall 1, upgrading that and turning VIP facilities, and then also this metal barn, turning that into multi-use. Is that going to take up the $200 million?
Or? No, so there's still another facility that we're looking for that would be just to the south of that arena. It's more designed for livestock. We talk a lot about rodeo and the equestrian events, but the livestock industry as well is massive. From breed shows to even, you know, when you talk about the FFA conventions and things like that that move around inside of the livestock industry. So we'll be targeting two industries. One, you know, you call it equestrian production event type in the arena, and the other one could be livestock focused. And that would be the second facility that would kind of be an anchor for us. Those would be the two facilities that we as a stock show and rodeo would be looking to operate year-round. We also offered the county, with the exiting of the Spurs, you're losing approximately 49 home games. So we also offered the county that we would pick up 20 days inside of the Frost Bank Center, as well as 20 days inside of the Coliseum. In those, we could be looking at, you know, PBRs to, you know, I know we're referencing earlier some of the bullfighting events that take place. You know, of course, embracing the music industry as well. You know, we would pick up days inside of there to alleviate some of that loss in those venues as well to create that year-round traction.
So you would book those 20 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and PBR is what?
I'm sorry, professional bullfighters.
Okay, and concerts, you would book concerts. It would be all sorts of type of concerts, not just things that dovetail into rodeo?
Correct. We might do blended product. We might do some bull riding combined with music, similar to what we do in the month of February. We might isolate just directly on music on some of them. We would have, you know, options inside of that.
All right, so we're learning more about the proposal for Prop B that's on the Bexar County voters ballot. Early voting begins in less than 2 weeks. It's November 4th is the election. Cody Davenport is with us, and he is the trail boss on trying to get this passed. And so part of that is public scrutiny, and we're bringing him to you. You can ask the tough questions. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. We got to get into how are we going to pay for this. It is a venue tax, so this is not a tax on homeowners. This is not a sales tax. This is something on hotel, motel rooms, and also on car rentals. But we'll get into that and other questions. The call in, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Proposition A, I said it wrong earlier, it's Proposition A on the Bexar County ballot. That is for the rodeo grounds. $198 million, we can call it $200 million for this proposition, for this proposal to revitalize that area, bring something they're calling year-round rodeo to the area. We'll talk about what that actually means and how this could actually be an anchor for redevelopment on the east side. That is something that we heard from County Judge Peter Sakai earlier this week. And you can call in with your questions and comments. We're joined by Cody Davenport. He is the trail boss of the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. You can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Bennett. And Bennett, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, to my opinion, the improvements that are being put on the ballot are primarily a smokescreen to provide money for the Spurs, because the legislation now requires that for anything for public funding has to be a public improvement, can't be for other enterprises.
All right. So, Bennett, thank you for that. So this has nothing to do with the San Antonio Spurs. If you are, you know, for, against, or ambivalent about the Spurs, that's Proposition B. This is completely different. This is just for the rodeo. You can pass Prop A, and you can say, well, I'm not into the Spurs thing, and I'm going to go against that. These are totally separate questions, and so let's think about it in those terms. But also, so to the point, though, Cody Davenport, how is this going to benefit the overall San Antonio public community?
Well, I mean, I think if you sit back and you just think about, you know, the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo and who we are, you know, we're a 501c nonprofit. We give money to develop the youth of Texas across the board. You know, everything that we do, everything that we are built upon is for the community as a nonprofit. You know, layers upon layers, not just in the financial giving that we do. I think last year we were $12.1 million in giving back to the youth. But I like to talk a lot about the development that takes place underneath those dollars as well for the youth. I'm giving them platforms to come in and, you know, if you will, compete with the various things that they believe in and do and their events across the board, not just show animals that we're associated with, but you've got robotics, you've got speech contest, you've got gardening, you've got culinary, you know, whatever a kid's interest is in. We're the Super Bowl in February to bring them into a platform to show off their hard work for the year, and basically work to, you know, create the best citizens that we can out there inside of these platforms. So we are all about community. When we talk about community, it's very easy for me. That's why we exist. That's why we have existed since 1949.
Right. So giving kids opportunities to succeed is something that everyone should be highly invested in. So we can really put the spark in there, show them that their hard work does provide positive benefits.
I would sure hope so. And that's that. And quite frankly, from my position, that is what I experience all over San Antonio. We're very youth oriented, you know, as citizens around this area, proud to work in South Texas. And we're very much a giving area down here and very much believe in our youth initiatives. I get to go speak around the nation to other rodeos and other areas about the support we get down here for basically building our youth.
And the scholarships, the rodeo provides millions and millions of dollars every year in scholarships.
Yes, sir, we do. Endowments and grants, show premiums to reward them for their efforts inside of their, you know, as well as the scholarships. And we work with, you know, most of the universities across the state, and then we have tentacles all over as far as education when you look back to giving these youth opportunities. I can tell you some great heartwarming stories about things I've experienced.
Give me one.
I went in and there was a child who literally, and what's awesome to me is the parents are the ones that typically recognize us, right? So I had a child that had been working their tail off in the side of a youth event that we were putting on. And the mother, the child, we ended up awarding grand champion and they've got a scholarship or like that. Well, the child is just ecstatic that they won. The mother comes over, don't know her, never met her, comes over and just hugging me and bawling on my shoulder. And she's like, my child has dreamed forever to go to Texas Tech. That has been, I mean, her room's covered up. And we did not know how we were going to cross the threshold to get her to Texas Tech to be able to afford it. This scholarship that had just won here is sending us over the limit, and we're not going to have to tell her that literally we could not afford for her to go to her dream college. And so whether she recognized this moment or not, as parents, we recognize that you help fulfill not just the educational dream, but a dream of a child who's wanted to go to a particular location forever.
If this passes, Proposition A passes, we have this redevelopment, we have year-round rodeo in Bexar County, are we going to have more scholarships? Will scholarship opportunities grow?
100%. The goal of our organization is to expand our giving. I don't need any more work. I don't think.
Well, this ain't work. I mean, if you're giving away money.
Yeah, right. It's the driving force behind my volunteers. I'm so lucky to have 7,000 volunteers that come from all over our area here because they believe in what we're doing. Well, to motivate and to drive 7,000 volunteers to get behind a year-round operation that we're talking about, we have to be giving more. That's the only reason we do this.
So that's a hard commitment, yes.
100%. Only reason we would take this on.
Okay, let's go to caller Sean. And Sean, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just need some more clarification because I don't understand how this is going to translate into a more money for the city. It's $200 million. I love the rodeo. I go every year. I don't understand how this translates to bringing in any more revenue. So I was hoping you could like give me an example of a place that's doing this thing and bringing in $200 million. And if that's not the case about bringing in revenue, this is just about scholarships, then it seems they're kind of a roundabout way. Why not just use $200 million for scholarships? I don't understand. And I just need a better explanation of concrete examples of $200 million will lead to this amount of money brought in, and this will lead to this amount of money to students. Thank you.
All right. So let me just explain how the venue tax works. We are, the county and the city, all the government agencies are able to tax hotel, motel rooms and also rental cars under the idea that they're going to be able to spur tourism and bring more people to the area and therefore have more hotel motel success and tourism in San Antonio. So, and then they're confined to how they can spend that money and only things that will encourage, bring tourism to San Antonio in hard, you know, fashion, not on operations, but only on building things. So that money cannot be repurposed for scholarships, but it sounds like the rodeo is planning, like if we're able to reinvest this money on the rodeo grounds, then that scholarship money will grow. But talk about how do we know obviously Fort Worth, they have a year-round rodeo up there and it's very successful. How do we know we can do that here?
Well, I mean, basically, we are a powerhouse, for lack of better words. We've been here forever. We have a very iconic brand, and we're known throughout the Western industry as, you know, being at the top of the game inside this. So I get to work with my peers in the industry all over there. Part of that process is that, you know, I get to go to, say, you know, Calgary and go up to the Stampede there. Obviously, in Vegas, we're involved in the NFR. And Fort Worth is the example that's closer to home. You know, working inside of all those and studying how they do things. And then again, going back to the outreach that we constantly are getting as a rodeo down here of people wanting to come inside of here. You know, we know this plan will work.
Okay, it's been proven. there's a business plan, I suppose, and there's been market research. We're going to check into all that
absolutely.
When we come back. We're going to do our Texas Public Radio pitch break, and then we'll be coming back after a little bit here. We're going to callers. You're welcome to hang on. I want to get you all on the air with your questions and comments. But right now, we're going to take a little break from our conversation about Prop A on the rodeo, $198 million in the venue tax that would go to improving the rodeo grounds and what this means for the east side. But let's take a break. Cody Davenport, hang out with us, enjoy the pledge drive, and this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
My name is Stephen Fowler, and I'm a politics reporter for NPR based in the South. When the DOGE initiative said that it was saving taxpayers billions of dollars by firing federal workers and making wholesale changes to government, through hours and hours of research and fact-checking, we did reporting that found that was not the case. We brought the receipts. NPR's coverage of government restructuring isn't just for and about people in D.C. It's reporting from member stations across the country, bringing the impacts in their local communities, whether you're in Washington, D.C., or Atlanta, or Anchorage, Alaska. I think right now what the audience needs from NPR is more community, more information, more understanding. When you donate to this station, that's the type of journalism you support. Please give to this station today.
You can call 800-622-8977 or go online to tpr.org to make that donation now. I'm David Martin Davies, and this is the Texas Public Radio Fall Fundraising Drive. TPR is dependent. We rely on you. We need you on listener support to ensure that our programming remains available and strong for the entire community. If you've already given, well, thank you. But if you haven't given yet, just think about it for a second, about the programming that you listen to, the programming that we provide for the entire community every day. By making a show of support for Texas Public Radio with a donation, we're able to do this day in and day out and make San Antonio a better, stronger, more vibrant community. Go now to tpr.org or give us a call at 800-622-8977. And with me now in the studio to tell you more is our Dan Katz, our news director. Dan.
And thank you so much. We are right now in an important challenge. We are looking to raise $7,943 by 3 p.m., just before All Things Considered, in order to stay on track during the pledge drive. We have a huge goal. We are looking to raise $1 million for public broadcasting in our community, but we can only do that if we stay on track during our hourly goals. And, you know, we're looking here at the budget. We're here at Pledge Central. On average, 1 hour of TPR costs about $730 to produce. How much of that can you take care of? 800-622-8977 is the number to call, tpr.org. Thinking about some of the Source episodes in recent days, Dave, we've had a number of perspectives on Project Marvel, the upcoming propositions in Bexar County. We had Shark Tank's Daniel Lubetsky, who went to high school and college here in San Antonio, and it was talking about how capitalism can be used for good. We had former mayor and HUD secretary Henry Cisneros talking about the emerging San Antonio Austin metro area. And some of our most interesting questions, it came from listeners engaging with us.
Right. And we tell people we're raising $1 million. It's a big number, but we make it small because we're doing this one pledge at a time. If you can provide a pledge $60 a year, $100 a year. We break it down month by month. It becomes workable. But when everyone comes together, we can do great things. That's how we are able to accomplish some of the most enormous tasks that we've had in San Antonio history and in our national history, is by everyone doing their part. So right now, we need you to give us a call, become a member of Texas Public Radio, 800-622-8977. You can use our TPR app. There's a big little button there you can press and take care of it that way. Or you can go online to tpr.org. Your support today will help maintain a more informed and adaptable community for years to come.
You know, for just a dollar a day, you can support trusted local news and receive two thank you gifts as our way of saying thank you. You can choose from the Texas Monthly Magazine subscription, the TPR hat, or our new TPR tote bag. Of course, you got to get the tote bag, collectible TPR t-shirt. There's a 20-ounce metal tumbler. So many choices today, so much good you can do, and so many benefits. Give today just a dollar a day or make a one-time donation of $365 and ask for any of those thank you gifts. 800-622-8977. Do a lot of good supporting the source and TPR, and thank you for keeping local news strong.
Texas Public Radio is trying to make up the shortfall that happened when the Trump administration decided not to fund public radio and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting any longer. And we're doing it. We're asking you to help us get there. Give us a call, 800-622-8977. Go online to tpr.org, and thank you so much. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Proposition A that is on the ballot. We'll be voting on that in just a couple of weeks in early voting. November 4th is Election Day. Proposition A is asking you about the rodeo grounds, $198 million from raising the venue tax in order to put improvements to the grounds. And the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo is saying they can do something called year-round rodeo. Cody Davenport is with us, and he is the head man in charge over there, the director of the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. I want to talk quickly, though, about Joe and Harry Freeman, who the Coliseum is named after. These were two brothers who were very successful in ranching and cotton and oil, and also had a Chevrolet car dealerships in the area. And they donated the property for the Coliseum and the rodeo grounds back in the 40s, and specifically for one specific use. Cody, what was that use?
Agricultural and expo uses.
So this is, we're using that land specifically for what the Freeman brothers wanted, okay?
Yes, sir, we are.
And the rodeo started soon after the Coliseum was completed in the late 1940s, and then the rodeo came to, you know, started there, moved to that location, and so it's been there ever since.
That is correct, yeah. Ever since the very beginning, the original intent of the land for those purposes, you know, we've always stayed true to, we've held to, and you've got great history, you've got it down. But, you know, you think of the transitions of the show as it's been through. We started off as a livestock show down there. Then, as you mentioned, it transitioned into rodeo production. Then we transitioned into scholarships. We always were just given to youth showing animals. We were able to expand into scholarships, which took us to where we are now. Then you had the partnership with the Spurs come along and build what at the time was with AT&T Center, currently the Frost Bank Center. You know, and that allowed us to grow to the level that we are right now, to even be talking about the things that we're talking about right now. And then I view this as the rodeo's continued growth and the greatest opportunity out of all those that we have faced. This is a transition of continuing to grow, continuing to stay true what the original intent of that property was for.
And the Frost family and the Freeman brothers were very close. So it makes sense to me. I said, oh, it makes perfectly sense that the Frost Center is right here. Yeah. But, you know, you got to know the history. So let's go to some of our callers. Let's go to Edward. And Edward, you're on the air.
Hey, David Martin. First of all, thank you for having on an actual stakeholder who can speak directly to the proposition and its potential rather than just some old politician.
Okay.
Greatly appreciate it. Mr. Davenport, it has been wonderful to hear everything you've said so far. Even before this interview, I was already supporting Prop A. It makes total sense. The branding for San Antonio for year-round rodeo is slap on the head obvious. especially considering our history and the historic stockyards we did host. I'm curious, I haven't heard yet, but maybe I missed it, if there's going to be more than just the event spaces for, you know, concerts and boat shows and car shows and the rodeo and PBR and so on and so forth. To truly make it a day-by-day destination, there needs to be dining, bars, nightlife, whatever, other attractions, family-friendly attractions. Think the Pearl, but not too foofy. Think more, you know, rootsy-oriented. Is there anything like that going on? That's what I would like to hear about. Thank you. I'll take my comment off the air.
All right, Edward, thank you for that great call. Appreciate it. So, Cody.
Yes. Edward, first of all, thank you. I really appreciate your compliments on the front side there. So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, I am not a politician, as you referenced on the front, so I will promise what I can promise. And what I do promise is this on behalf of our show, and that is to have the type, if you will, of client that comes in down there that we bring in the month of February. Our economic impact study shows, number one, that we have people coming from every county in the state of Texas. I think we had somewhere around 69, we average 69 to 70 foreign countries that come. All this happens in the month of February. We have 1.2 million people, again, just in the month of February. So let's talk a little bit about that. This is just the way it is. If I drive in down there to those grounds to go to a concert currently or go to a game, odds are I'm going back and I'm sleeping in my own bed at night. I might go eat something before, but there's nothing in the area around there. And I live there every day. That's my home, you know, in that office. So we want what you're talking about as much as anybody, because quite frankly, for us to have the long-term success, you know, as a show in this growth, we need that as well. So the type of client we're talking about now, this person is coming from out of town. They're not just driving down to go to a concert or a game and going back to their home. They're coming from out of town. And they're staying an average of 3 days. The type of events that we create in these competitions in the Western industry, they don't just happen in a couple of hours. They come in and we run these events. They average 3 days before we're even at a final of it. They're coming in with, you know, probably on most of these types of events, they're coming in with an animal of some form, which means they don't want to travel far proximity from that high dollar animal they have there competing. So when you look at what our economic impact shows in the month of February, we're hitting all the hotels, all the food joints, everything as close proximity to those grounds as can be possibly done by these people. That's what's happening in February. But you can't build a business plan on 1 month. You need regular traction. So we roll in February, we blow it up, and then we roll out. What we're talking about now is the ability to bring in this type of person, this type of client on a year-round basis. Now, I'm not, again, talking about at the level of the month of February. I'm not talking about 1.2 million people down there over and over. But I am talking about a regular client that has these needs and has the money to spend if they're coming there. So the potential is teed up. I know y'all have heard out there Judge Sakai talk about, you know, the golf course over there as well. I will stand here as well and say I'm a proponent of that. I believe in that. You know, we are bound by industrial development on the north and the south side. Some things could be done inside of that, yes. But we're bound on the west side by railroad tracks. But if you go to the east, we have that beautiful golf course, that beautiful green belt, and you don't want to take away the golf course. Just the frontage area there. If we're someone above my pay grade was able to find a way to do a public partnership type deal over there, a public-private partnership type deal, and take that frontage there, I can visualize the beauty of us being able to support those, you know, bars and restaurants with the clientele we're bringing down. And then you look to the east behind that and you're looking at this beautiful course. Now you're starting to get traction down that the east side so deserves. You know, we've been on the east side since 49. We were there when it was just pastures all the way around us. We've watched this develop up around us. We love the east side. It is our home. And that's one of the main reasons we are determined to stay there and protect those grounds and not let them become, you know, the next Astroworld or fail. We want to be the anchor tenant. We're stepping up. We want to hold that ground and protect it. And in that process, we want to assist every way we can to help with that development around us, not just for selfish reasons, but also because we love that where we are.
That's a municipally owned golf course, Willow Springs. And if we had the Spurs, we still have the Spurs. They'll be there for years to come. But, you know, they are planning to move out. If we couldn't make it work now and back then when the Frostbank Center was being built, how do we think we're going to make it work now?
I would go back to, you know, what I was referencing there. It's the type of people that support the business. It's the type of client. Every business revolves around its client. The person that rolls inside of there, goes to a game, and rolls out is completely different than the one that is trapped on those grounds with us.
Okay. Let's go another caller. We have Adam. Adam, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. I am a rideshare driver. And one of the problems I see with the, well, Frostbank Center now is getting in and out. And parking is limited. You got so many people going there. They're taking rideshare. Getting out of there is a headache. Also, getting to there is a headache because we don't know where we're going to go. If it's a Spurs game, we got to go through one lot. If it's a rodeo, we got to go another way. If it's a concert, who knows what the heck's going on? Is there going to be some type of designated area constantly where we go to the same place, pick up the people, drop them off in the same place, anything like that in the plans?
Adam, and thanks for the call. Good, really, really insightful question. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, Adam, great call. My greatest amount of hate mail and hate phone calls revolve around parking down there during February. So I feel your pain. I hear you.
Sounds like something could be fixed.
Most definitely. And we are studying it, you know, hard. A lot of this, Adam, revolves around, you've got a three-way partnership down there between the Spurs, the rodeo, and the county, between Coliseum Advisory Board. So you've got the Spurs put on a concert, they put on a game, then the county rolls in and they put on an event, and then we roll in and we put on a rodeo, and we all do not have unified rideshare plans. So you are experiencing firsthand the lack of unity down there and the lack of controls by having an anchor tenant that has regular traction. Now, if we come in under our plan, absolutely. We already have, you know, rideshare plans in location that we could make static, meaning you're not having to guess every time an event's going on or where you're coming in or how you're getting out. You know as well, working in that industry, that the more people understand it and know it, the better it flows. We're not just circling around each other. So short answer, yes.
Yeah, that's something that just takes a little bit of brain power and deciding and getting creative and insightful feedback. Just like that. We're going to take a 1 minute break here. I'm going to try and get all these callers on the air. Let's go to Sally, and we have to see a bunch of other people, Kathleen and Lewis and Rosa. I'm going to try and get you all on the air if we can. So we're going to have to move really fast in this next segment and just continue talking about Proposition A and the $198 million that they look to raise by raising the venue tax on hotel rooms and rental cars. Cody Davenport is with us for another segment, president of the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies talking about Proposition A on the ballot. The rodeo question, $198 million, raising the venue tax that's on hotels and rental cars. That will pay for improvements to the rodeo grounds, and we're getting the download on that with Cody Davenport with the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. Let's go to a caller. We have Sally. Sally, you're on the air.
Thank you, Dave. You may have to answer this question. I'm wondering if you could give us an idea of how they determine where the rest of the city tourism tax goes, and do they ever end one project and then replace the new project without increasing it? I thought it was extremely high at 12%, and now it's proposed to go up to 17%.
Right. So this is the proposal. They are borrowing money. They're going to sell bonds based upon this amount of money that is being raised through this tax. And then when that when those bonds are paid off, then those then that's retired. And then they can look around and find something else to use that money for. It would have to be voted on again. But Cody Davenport, do you want to add on to that?
I actually think you did a great job.
Right. So yeah. This is not a perpetual, you know, it's not going to go on for forever. This is only until they pay off. And it may be, you know, 10 years, something like that. I was hoping to try and figure that out, but I've been looking for this information. It's kind of hard to dig out, but it is a limited time, and then they will find other things. And by then, this rodeo may have been so successful that they want to do more with it. But it'll be up to the voters. So let's go to the next question. And Jeannie, you're on the air.
Hi. I know y'all going to like this comment. And I realize that because we're in Texas, most of this will fall on deaf ears, but somebody, and I know that there's lots of money to be made and human advantage to be had, but somebody has to speak up for the animals and point out that most of rodeo is cruelty. The fear and stress that is deliberately induced on these animals and the physical injuries that are so common, they have a shorter life, they're viewed as freaking disposable, and these totally unnatural behaviors are forced for human entertainment. These animals have a right to a natural life, and yet in rodeo they experience psychological trauma, and this exploitation is celebrated as tradition. Also, we have to recognize that this violence and cruelty has a desensitizing effect for the empathy towards animals, the empathy right. In general, especially children. And we don't need to be disconnecting from empathy in these times. We need more empathy, not less. And
yes.
Listeners just to realize if they are participating in rodeo, they are participating in human cruelty.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Jeannie, thank you for your call. And we do hear you, and I appreciate what you have to say. But I do know that at the rodeo, I mean, there is no bigger collection of veterinarians and people who care for animals. And when we see the stock show, that's what you're watching. You're seeing people who care for animals. But Cody Davenport, do you want to reply? I mean, Jeannie's point, she has a point, and there are people that feel that way. But you want to talk about that?
Yeah, no, Jeannie. I mean, I respect 100%, you know, where you're coming from. And I just want you to know that, you know, animal husbandry is literally what we are educating out there. And, you know, that is what we're behind. And these animals, you know, at the level that we're operating at are so well taken care of. And I could get offline if you ever wanted to reach out to our offices. I'd be happy to show you and talk with you about all the care and the education components of care of animals and how we lead the industry in protecting animals and taking care of them. You know, that is literally what we do. I understand your perspective of the, you know, the sport in the sense that you're voicing there. I would just hope that you would give me an opportunity to show you how they really are well taken care of.
Let's go to Kathleen. And Kathleen, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. My question is regarding the $12 million in scholarships for youth. And I'd like to know a little bit more about that in terms of what percentage of that scholarship money stays in Bexar County for Bexar County children and how much of that goes outside of the county. And how are those decisions made and how will you, you know, address that going forward
in
a year round with more scholarship money?
Kathleen, thank you for the question. So, Cody?
Yeah, great question. And it is something that we've had to study and work on. Now, I would talk a little bit about how, you know, we're formulated down there in our competitive events. Number one, we are built to run the events. We don't handpick these scholarships. We are not in the business of picking the youth for the scholarships. We create the platforms for the competitive events and the programs for them to come inside of. So I could have kids showing from all over that come in.
I mean,
in.
This is a statewide rodeo,
correct.
Even national rodeo.
Correct.
We have kids from all over the state of Texas showing up here. And this is the show. This is like the Super Bowl for many of these kids from across the state of Texas. They've shown their animals at other counties, and they've won their ribbons here, and now they come to take it to Bexar County. Yeah. So I understand the point, like, let's support Bexar County kids, but also these are all Texas kids, pretty much.
And that is our mission. It's the youth of the state of Texas. But if I would like to dive in, I understand we're running out of time. Can I dive into the area where we are trying it? I'd like to expand beyond that.
You have one, but like we have 30 seconds.
Just we are working in the immediate area of bringing them in by our operations. I mean, I have them as ushers, gate greeters. We have a horseback riding program directly across the street. We're working hard to bring the youth in the immediate area, not just through the scholarships, but into our operations where I can fund money to all of their nonprofits.
Right, and if they have year-round rodeo, there'll be year-round events specifically for Bexar County kids participating. Paid in and to just have a chance to succeed, which is something we should all be looking for in order to help the next generation. Cody Davenport, thanks for coming in. Trail Boss for the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, great hearing from you.
Thank you.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm sorry, callers, I couldn't get you all on the air, but thanks for listening.
With federal funding for public media eliminated, listeners all over this country are stepping up to support public radio. Hi, I'm Elsa Chang from All Things Considered.
And I'm Aisha Roscoe from Weekend Edition. We're here to share a little of what people are saying. Kyle in Brooklyn says, I'm skipping two lattes a month to keep Steve Inskeep in my ear each morning. We see you and thank you, Kyle.
Farouk in El Paso, Texas says, public radio is one of the key bloodlines of this country, keeping communities connected. Thank you, Farouk.
And Diane in Juneau, Alaska says, I'm so sorry this day has come. You have my support as long as I am able. Thanks, Diane.
If you have already made your gift to the station, or if you're a sustaining donor, seriously, thank you.
If not, please join the movement to protect public radio today and tell us why you're stepping up.
Here's how to donate, and thanks.
You can donate right now by giving us a call, 800-622-8977. You can go online to tpr.org. You could also go to your smartphone app for public radio, and you can donate right there, right now. And we sure would appreciate it if you did. I guess you can hear how Talking Rodeo has brought out the natural voice that I have. That's my natural accent. But, you know, I go back to my public radio voice. This is David Martin Davies with Texas Public Radio's Fund Drive. And TPR relies on community support to ensure that our programming remains strong, our commitment to you. We were able to follow through on that. If you've already given, wow, thank you so much. If you haven't given yet, we got to ask you, like, what are you waiting for? Because you know you want to be a member of Texas Public Radio. You told yourself last pledge drive that you would give Texas Public Radio, and now we really need you to step up. This is a really special time for Texas Public Radio. We need everyone who listens to us, who appreciates us, who thinks that this is an important service for the entire community to do their part. Call now, 800-622-8977.
And what a great program. Right now, we are here. We're here to support local engagement. We're here to support this kind of programming. And this challenge that we're in right now, we have $6,225 left to raise by 3 p.m. And we're making some progress this hour, and we've got some listeners to thank. Christian Kane for investing in TPR. Your support powers The Source. It powers every local news story we do. And we want to say thank you to an anonymous donor who gave their reason for giving, saying, NPR has been a lifeline to me for the last 30-plus years. I have listened from many locations. We are really, really grateful. And we had another contribution that just came in. And Dave, we're ticking it down. $4,983 left to raise to meet this challenge. Source listeners are coming through.
Right. So the entirety of the pledge drive is $1 million. That's a big kielbasa right there. And we're going to be attacking that one pledge at a time. You know, we have these minor goals. They're not minor, they're significant, but we have to break it down in order to get there. And that's why we're asking you to pledge right now. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can just be whatever you have. We appreciate that if you do support Texas Public Radio. I understand it comes with sacrifice, and I don't take that for granted. I think about you every day as I come to work about how much people support Texas Public Radio and my responsibility to you. But we do need you to help us close the gap because of what happened with the loss of the federal funding. So we're now 100% community supported. And so we need 100% of our listeners really to do their part. Give us a call, 800-622-8977. Use the donate button on our TPR app.
busy here at Pledge Central. Want to say thank you to Joseph Nathaniel DeLeon for his donation. Your ongoing support keeps TPR strong every single day. $4,863 left to raise before 3 p.m. Can we surpass that? Stay on track. Keep public radio strong. Keep the source strong. 800-622-8977 is the number to call to contribute. You can give online at tpr.org as well. And our nonprofit Corazon Ministries is also going to help in the community for every new and upgraded sustaining member.
This is an opportunity for us to do accountability on ourselves. We have our work that we've been doing in asking you, okay, we've been doing this reporting, we've been doing it for you, and now we're asking you to hold us accountable. Are we giving you the service that you want, that you need, that you demand? Are you giving you the journalism that you demand? If the answer is yes, then we need your support. 800-622-8977, and thank you.
You know, connections and people create a community, and we are here to reflect and be that community. 800-622-8977, tpr.org, and thanks.